Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Hi, welcome to the show, and I'm delighted today to be with Dan Richards from My Firm's App. Dan, hello to you.
Hi, Rob. Thanks. Yeah, great to be with you.
What's your role in My Firm's App, Dan?
So I'm part of the executive board at My Firm's App. So it's a global role and looking after a lot of our strategic relationships with firms all around the world, with a lot of the partnerships. I speak a lot for the professions and at various conferences and what we do as a business ourselves. But I also work very closely with the large firms that we serve across the world and the more strategic input they need.
And what's your background personally?
I've been involved in the profession around 20 years now. About 6 years ago, we set My Firm's App up as a response, really, to the shift in mobile communications and the proliferation of devices. Initially, really, as a bit of a marketing gimmick to differentiate some firms. And it was a very simple app back then. And what surprised us was just how people used it. And so we took it a lot more seriously since then. We've learned a lot along the way. It's been quite a fast journey. And we are where we are today. So sales and marketing background for professional firms through to where we sit now as this app platform globally.
And in the dictionary of life and business in Daniel Richards' world, what does sales mean?
Sales is very simply winning business. And that's something that we all want to do. Yeah, we're in business. We want to do the job that we're good at. But in order to do the job we're good at, we need to win business. And in order to sell well, it's about serving, it's about great relationships, understanding, it's credibility. It's really a lot more now about attracting the right type of buyer to you, as opposed to the double glazing approach of yesteryear.
Yeah, love that. And in your view, Dan, from what you've seen, you work a lot with large accounting firms. What separates the good firms from the great ones?
Culture and technology, because you would expect somebody to be in a large firm. You expect them to be technically strong.
Yeah.
And you would expect them to have a multitude of technical strengths as well. To cover the breadth of what the type of business and entrepreneur would require from a large firm. What really shines through, I think, is the culture in the firm. So what's the leadership of that top 100 or large firm like? What's the vision they've got? How do they see their role in the client business? And how does that pervade down through the ranks, without wanting to be too hierarchical about it, but you know, into the partnership groups, into the senior management teams, the customer-facing people, the back office guys, you know, what's the reason that they rock up to work every day? And is it to be technically good at this one thing? Great. But is it also to be able to make a difference in the lives of their clients? Because the influence that they have is enormous. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity to do exceedingly well is great. So I think those who go from good to great, they find that cultural difference. I think they also use technology in a smart way. We can make life too hard sometimes. They can use technology to deliver and manage data in a much more real-time way. I think those who are great are already embracing, at least conversationally, artificial intelligence, virtual assistants, chatbots, blockchain, that sort of conversation. And I think they are also implementing what's good today into their client businesses. So things like dashboards and cloud systems that make things a lot more accessible. And that way it frees them up to deliver the advisory relationship more real time as well, without having to crunch so much of that data themselves.
Yeah, you're touching on so many good things, Dan. And technology's been a game changer, hasn't it? I mean, it's been there in the background, but just the last few years, you sense this groundswell of overwhelm even with so many things going on for accounting.
Yes, I think the Accountech show that I know a lot of folks come along to is probably a good illustration of that. It can be somewhat bewildering. There's so much going on, the noise is enormous. There's a lot of good options and there's some less good ones in amongst it. But if you turn up to somewhere like Accountex with a plan and say, right, these are the four or five people I want to talk to. These are the sessions I want to see. This is the software I want to make some choices around. You get a lot more from it. And I think if you extrapolate that into the general noise around the profession at the moment, it's similar. I think those who are looking objectively at it, they're making conscious decisions about what they want to do. Even if it's a no, at least it's a conscious decision. Then I think that helps to clean up the noise around it, because you're right, there's so much change going on, whether it's governmental or technology-based.
What are some of the biggest challenges large firms face right now, particularly if they want to grow, Dan?
Making quick decisions. Maybe quick is the wrong word. That can sound cavalier. Making decisions. Let me just put it that way. Sometimes the ocean-going vessel analogy can be appropriate. Sometimes I sit around board tables of large firms and the difficulty of getting consensus on something, or the proof points that people want to see before they go, where actually good is good. And if you start to do it, you can start to learn. And as you start to learn, you can make it better. And that allows firms to be a lot more adaptive. I think when you come down into the mid-sized firms, the leading mid-sized firms, they're a lot more adaptive to their decision-making, and they get on and do things. And therefore, they can accelerate their learning curve far quicker.
That's agility, isn't it? Yeah.
Agility. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for.
No, it's a good analogy. And big ships turn slowly. I get that. You can't make big strategic changes quickly, and you can't implement them quickly, the larger a firm is, presumably.
No, but you can break it down a little bit further, can't you? For example, RSM in Australia, we serve RSM nationally in Australia, and we started with one chunk of the business. And that was an easy decision to make. There was people who had the decision-making capability for that part of the business, and we started there. And it was only 4 or 5 months before it made it to the executive leadership at their board meeting, who said, great, we love it, we can see what you mean now, yep, let's roll it out nationally. And so sometimes you can chunk it up in a way that enables you to keep moving more quickly. We have similar conversations with others of a similar size and scope to RSM.
And you with your sales and marketing hat on, we know that firms want to grow. How has the way firms grow and win business changed over the years?
I did a session last week, and I found the Nokia communicator and the flip up and a little keyboard inside it. So I'm moving house at the moment. I found that in my garage, and it created a great story, because when we first started, we made the first telephone calls for accounting firms. It used to be illegal to do that, to prospect as an accounting firm. So we made the first telephone calls. That was really exciting at the time. Business owners were meeting with accountants because they were so shocked that an accountant phoned them. They wanted to see what they looked like.
Yeah.
So that was a wonderful time to be in sales and marketing for firms. After that, of course, direct mail, email marketing, fax marketing, which is where I come to this story about the Nokia, because I remember walking down through a Yorkshire high street in Ilkley, sending a fax from here, closing it up and put it in my pocket, and I felt great. You know, I sent a fax on the go. It was amazing.
Game changer.
Wasn't it? Yeah. I'm a mobile fax guy. It's awesome.
Yeah.
When I brought it in to show my kids, they just looked at me more strangely than they normally do. And when I brought it into our office and thought, well, we're a tech company, leading company, I'll show it to our staff. And so I showed it around the office, and people didn't recognize it. And so I had to explain what it was. And then I realized we employ people younger than that handset now.
Oh, boy.
And then when you look where we've come to now with web and online and apps and mobile and the sheer intrinsic nature they have in daily life and work, to come to your question, I think the way sales and marketing has changed, it's followed that same curve. So relationships are key. I think you made a great comment the other day when we were talking about it's easy to be connected in the loosest sense of the word, but not to actually develop thoughtful relationships.
Yeah.
So it's really important you do that, but you've got to strike those up and you've got to be present. So that means being in the mobile landscape. It means running great events and forming good conversations and having tailored follow-up to those contacts that you have. So they're not just in a washing machine of sales and marketing stuff that gets sent out.
You're speaking my language, Dan. I totally get that. Do you see yourself as a disruptor? Are you trying to change the game, or do you see yourself just going with the flow and tapping into the zeitgeist and you're just providing them with what they need?
We're definitely an innovative firm. The reason we have come to where we are is somewhat fortuitous, somewhat divine grace, and an awful lot of hard work. And we've innovated throughout that period, and we want to continue to innovate. So I'm very proud of our team. We were on the forefront of what is possible for firms when it comes to engaging with their clients through their mobile devices. There's a lot more innovation to come, so definitely disruptive in that scope. But sometimes being a disruptor creates the negative connotation. And it's only useful to be a disruptor if you can take what you've innovated and help people use it in the here and now. And so if you can give them something that they can use to enhance and enrich their own client relationships, both pre and post sale, and in a way that helps to improve the efficiency there, then that disruption has served a purpose. And so we want to keep disrupting and innovating, but in order so that we can help improve the lives of clients with their firms now.
Yeah, it's a very good answer. What do you think is the worst advice or doctrine you see firms and the accounting profession putting out there?
It's a really interesting question. And there's a lot of people who just pump out so-called thought leadership, and that can be scaremongering, or it can just be totally ambiguous and unuseful. I think some of the worst advice, I see it from two sides at the moment, actually. There is people that say, wait and see, just hold your time, bide your time. And I think we live in a world now that doesn't give any grace to that any longer. And I think there's also people who are not getting the buy-in of their team, their key members. Champion would be the cliche word to use. We're seeing people who are saying, well, you know, just grab this or just grab that. And they're not making what we would call the conscious decision and seeing how that comes together or what the foundation journey is to that. So they're managing that client relationship better. And they're also doing that with one or two people as opposed to letting the firm or the colleagues around them really understand why this is happening so they can leverage the value more quickly.
Yeah. I want to ask you how forward thinking you are. Do you see yourself as just riding the wave right now and tapping in and innovating gently? Or are you the kind of firm that looks ahead 5, 10, 15 years? And if so, what's coming up?
It's my belief that our clients look to us for that. If you can be making it useful today, but be looking ahead as well, the use of artificial intelligence is already in place. And one of the ways in which that can come better or perhaps more normal in firms is around the management of data, the understanding of data, the analysis of that data, and then presenting that back. But I don't think we should ever cut the human out of that. This only should ever augment that human engagement. And if that can speed up and make better the human engagement, great. I think you will find a lot of stuff around virtual assistants, voice activation, only within a year or two of now, that becomes more normal, where you can speak to your smartphone and ask it a question, and it will come back with a comprehensive answer. And then the visibility of that data that gets compiled behind the scenes, AI can help to use that to inform the firm to say, these are the questions your clients are asking more often, and to help maybe manage product delivery, service delivery, make strategic choices as a firm as to what they're doing as well. And I think the more that data automation comes through and the mobile element of that, because that's just the society we have now together, then I think we'll find the opportunity for firms and the new wave of accountants coming to large firms as recruits and coming through the training to hopefully be a great deal more commercial. And I think it's very exciting for the business community because they've been able to tap into a financial acumen that accountants bring so strongly, coupled with a lot more commerciality, and that could be quite exciting.
Yeah, I like that. What should be the hiring policy of progressing firms that really want to grow?
You've got to get the technical part right, but that ought to be a given. So then you're really looking for people who have enthusiasm. It's that interpersonal skill. People who can listen, ask good questions, think consequentially. You know, there's nothing worse than talking to someone who's technically competent but cannot join the dots together. And you know, as a client of accounting firms, you know, I understand that frustration. You know, you talk to people, it's like, well, you know, I wish you would be asking me the questions I think I would be asking you at a time like this. And their breadth of exposure across the business community as an accounting firm and a large firm, their financial acumen is not something that I would necessarily possess. So their ability to ask consequentially, well, great, Dan, what about this? And have you thought about that? And when are you trying to do this? And digging under the reasons why, that's great relationship stuff. But it means that then the accounting solution or the tax solution or the business structure that they then put in place is so much more relevant to my business. And better still, I understand it better and as a client and can do more with it. So I think finding people who are hungry for that type of conversation, not just people who want to sit in the cubicle.
Yeah. Let's talk about Dan Richards for a moment. What does the first 60 minutes of your average day look like, Dan?
Dark.
Are you an early riser?
Yes, yeah. So most days I cover the various time zones from Australia through the UK, South Africa, the US. So they can be quite long days, but listen to the dawn chorus if I can and then crack on.
What do you like most about what you do?
I love innovation. I love the team of people that we work with. Whatever work we choose together, we ought to enjoy it. We spend an awful lot of time doing it, you and I included. So we ought to enjoy what we do. Working with good people and the difference that we're able to make into firms engagement with their clients is fantastic. You can see the difference that it makes, and that's rewarding. So I love growing business and innovating, but those things matter.
Yeah, I can see that. And going back to Accountex, when I came onto the My Firms app stand, there was certainly a buzz around the place, even first thing in the morning when no one else was there, but just your people. So you're either paying them well, training them well, or recruiting them well, or leading them well. So or maybe all of those.
Hopefully a blend.
Yeah. Dan, you sound like a voracious learner. It sounds like you're always looking for ways to raise your own personal game. Do you have a personal philosophy for success?
Probably not one that I've defined per se, but if it was things that I think are important, continuous learning, absolutely. and being very open to other people. Surrounding yourself with smart people is helpful. It always encourages me, at least, to up my game. And being very open to the firms that we meet. You know, we have by no means got all the answers on anything, let alone everything. And so even when we're speaking with firms who are asking for our support, you know, we can learn just as much from them in the journey. And I think if you can stay very open to that, there's a great opportunity to continue to improve what you're able to do.
I like that. Is there a thinker or a movement or a book that's shaped your philosophy of life and business?
This will sound a little bit cliquey. David Oliver, you know, he's like a father.
He's a legend.
His son, Joel, and I, we've grown up together. So, you know, it's like family, but he's had a big influence. I think some of the names that people recognize, I feel are very important. The likes of Paul Dunn, who I love his approach around connections. And I like the way he's putting all his energies, which are considerable, now into the buy one, give one arena.
Yeah. Incredible man. Yeah.
You know, I find the short, snappy TED Talks are wonderful. You know, there's a number of different things that are inside there and reading what we can. And a lot to learn outside of the business arena as well. The likes of Christianity and some of the historical figures that have had some enormous impacts in the world. There's a lot of we can learn from there. And I think if we can stay humble on the journey, that's a pretty good start.
Love that. And with you mentioning the word grace a couple of times, I wondered if you're a man of faith. So it's always great to get around people like that, myself included. So is there anything you believe deeply, Dan, that other people think is crazy?
Yeah, that I can sing. Probably not so much. It's probably the energy. You know, I don't sleep a lot. I like being awake. I like being involved in things. So that's probably the thing. If anyone was to call it crazy, it would be that. But
yeah.
Otherwise, no. I think sometimes my ideas are totally bananas and people tell me very quickly and I move on. But other than that, no.
There's a great quote by Eric Hoffer, and he says that the mark of an educated person is the degree to which they're willing to let go of old ideas to embrace new ideas. So with that in mind, pegging you as an educated guy, is there anything you've changed your mind on in the last few years and why?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Hopefully, I have come more humble and responsive to change, especially someone like myself. You know, I'm often, it's a personality trait. People tell me whether this is right or wrong, but, you know, I think I can see some things that are ahead. And if you can see the future, you very often want to grab the future and bring it here. That can be painful for some people. And it can also be wrong because I've got every opportunity to get that sort of stuff wrong. So I think being much more gentle with stuff like that has been certainly maybe a point of maturity, let's call it that, over the last couple of years. Sure. And hopefully I'll continue in that trajectory and making sure that we bring people with us. So, you know, you can move at your own speed, which can be out here. But if you're leaving people behind on the journey, well, that's useless. So making sure that you slow down at times and you bring people around, and hopefully that's some of the fruit you saw at AccountX when you're talking about the team. You know, they're an awesome bunch.
Yeah, sure. Now, well, there are no ideal jobs, Dan. You're obviously very passionate about what you do and you've got a great product and you're making a difference. Is there anything that frustrates you about your role?
Yeah.
You've got a long list.
Yeah, actually, now I can answer that question, Rob. I'm all over that one. Not being able to express myself clearly enough. You know, I'm incredibly clear in my mind and passionate about what we're doing. I am self-accountable if I'm talking to somebody and they don't get it, because communication is what you get. And it's my responsibility to be able to ask the right questions and communicate in a way that helps them understand. They might disagree with it, but at least get them to understand it. So that part can be frustrating, and that's perhaps a symptom of dealing in newness, you know, and, you know, use of apps and mobile relationships with clients is still a new facet to the accounting relationship. So that kind of goes in with that territory. And then technology itself, yeah, I'd always love development to happen quicker.
Tell us a little bit about how My Firm's app is making a difference in accounting firms, Dan.
I'm hoping that the difference we make, and I believe it is from the feedback we get from the many firms that we serve, is around their client relationship. And it's also protecting the firm. So the firm are very good at what they do. I think we're pretty good at what we do. And so if we can fulfill that need for them and be that innovator and be that technology partner for them, great. So if we can be useful in that relationship, I think we're doing a good job there. We're providing a great custom app platform, and it's our responsibility to keep building that. That's putting good technology in the firm and the relationship and helping with those communications. But it's not just the tech. You've got to be able to work alongside the firm to help them use it. And I think that's where we make a really big difference. You know, the people in this organization. It's what we get up to do. It's not a sideshow for us. It's not a bit piece. This is what we do. And as a result, we've been able to learn a lot. And if we can help continue to learn and help firms to implement, then they're not just making an exciting choice today, but then wondering what on earth they're supposed to do with it further down the road.
Sure, that's very good. If firms are listening to this, they like the sound of what you're doing, what questions would they be asking themselves that would mean a good conversation with you guys needs to be had?
I think if the firm is asking itself the question, do we believe it's important that we are present in the mobile relationship with our client? Number one. If the answer to that, and they're clear about the question, they're clear about their answer, and the answer is no, it's probably not the right time for us to be talking. Yeah. If the answer is yes, great, there's a conversation to be had. Having answered that question, it's about saying, what do we need that relationship with our client to look like in the mobile space? And if they're starting to ask questions around bringing everything in together into one environment that the firm owns and is able to adapt over time, add to and take away from, so they're not stuck with one particular software vendor for the long haul, they can adapt to market changes. If they're wanting to see how they can communicate and influence client behavior, if they're wanting to see where they can create time savings for their staff and for their clients, all of those are hallmarks of things given that first answer. That means that it's probably worth grabbing a telephone call or a LinkedIn connection sometime and talking stuff through.
Dan, this has been great. If people want to find out more about you, have a conversation with you and learn more about MyFirmsApp, how might they reach you?
You can access us through the website, myfirmsapp.com, and you're very welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Daniel Richards on LinkedIn, and it'd be great to chat.
Well, this has been brilliant. Just a final question. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career that served you well throughout the years and the accountants listening might benefit from?
Keep your head high and your heart humble.
Super. On that note, Dan Richards from MyFirmsApp, that's been world class. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Rob. It's been great chatting with you. Thanks.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.